December the 3rd, 2020. This program is brought to you by New Africa Excellent Enterprise LLC, Marad Speaks, Block Talk Radio, where we teach Quranic Arabic, Islamic studies, and comparative religion, not just religion. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. With Allah's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer, As-salamu alaykum, which means peace be on you. I'm your host for this evening, Elihu Bey. My topic this evening is Al-Islam, the tafsir of Imam Warfuddin Muhammad, commentary of the Holy Quran. If you have missed any of the talks, go online to www.blogtalkradiomaradspeaks.com and you'll be able to listen to the talks that you have missed. So once again, we will open with a short dua, and then we will continue where we left off yesterday. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Wassalatu wassalamu ala rasulihu kareem Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mubarak. Rational insight are not there when you speak to them. They are non-responsive when you speak to them or give their mind something that requires them to use reason. So that kind of state in the human intelligence is described as thunder and lightning. The light of intelligence is on for a short while. Like when the lightning flashes, it is not on for too long. But sometimes the flash is so bright at night, you can see what is happening around you. Allah says it flashes and goes away, and they are in the dark again. They have to stop again. They cannot proceed. So our people have been worked on so much by preachers in the church that works nothing but your feelings, your emotions, for so much over a period of generations. They tend not to want to think. Isn't that pitiful? We tend not to want to think. We just want to react. And I think our preachers know better now. The majority of our preachers, they know that they are holding our people back, but they are so used to it. And that is their profession. That is their good thing. And they do not want to give it up. And the word of God, amongst many of them, the Imam Warfuddin Muhammad, is against it. So most of them do not want to see me. They do not want to talk to me or anything. But they respect me, and I believe privately they love me, because they know that I love them. I would not want them to change if I did not love them. If you do not love a person, you do not want to see them change to the better state. You don't care, but they know I love them. So in the end of time, one of the signs is that the beast, the great deceiver, will be in his lake on the water, but his lake will be burned. His lake will be turned, pardon me, into a lake of fire. And he is in it. Now, the lake of fire could be a fire of the passion that destroys people, that is uncontrolled, unintelligent passion that destroys people. But the lake of fire could also be the fire of passion against what has been happening to those in that condition. In other words, it could be a fire that the beast did not ignite. It could be a fire that God planned that would one day come and consume the beast. And that is what has happened eventually. All of this is science on the nature of the human life. in community or in society. And the challenge that life has to face or meet, even from the deceiver, and how that life is going to survive because of God's plan for it, how it is going to survive all these interruptions, all of these bad conditions. It is going to survive, and the thing that works for the deceiver will be turned against the deceiver themselves. So they work on our feelings and our sensitivity and our passion, but there will come a time when those passions rebel against those who deceive the human life. Then the passion that they have fired up, now they have made us a people of great passion, strong passion, a passionate people. So when those passions turn against the deceiver, oh boy, they will have a fire on their hands. That is the prediction of Scripture. Many things are not given as predictions, but they are predictions. They are given as a picture, description, but those descriptions are also predictions, telling us what the future is and what it is going to happen in the end. So really, we are living in that time right now. Look at how the youngsters are. The church can't get them. They won't follow anybody. I'm talking about the rebellious youngsters. They form their own associations, their own organizations. Some of them are criminals and some are not. But all of them do not want to hear a thing from us. They do not want to hear a thing from the establishment. They don't trust any establishment, and they are very passionate. They are full of energy. They are ready to hurt something. Some of them are waking up and turning around saying, this is not positive. What we are doing is negative. They are independent of us and forming their own leadership. And one day we are going to see some great man, leader, come from them. I believe it is already happening. Great leaders are going to come from this abused and misdirected young generation that we have. And when they turn all that energy into the right direction, they are going to be great for their society, for their people, and they are going to be too much for the schemes of Satan. Lake means water turned red. So I say that the beast really burning in his own fire. I can see that he is actually burning in his own fire. And if you study the word lake, they use it for a reason in Scripture. If you look up the word lake, it does not mean clear water. It means water turned red. Now, you know that is not the color of lakes. Lakes have clear water. The water is not colored, but the term says a deep and red dye. Substance has been put into the water. The liquid contains a deep red dye substance. So that is what the word lake is used in the Bible for the beast, that he will be consumed in a lake of fire, one of the curses upon people. Allah's throne is universal, not subjective. The topic is the throne was upon the water. The throne had to come from being subjective to being universal rather than subjective. And Allah revealed that his throne that he wants us to establish as Muslims is universal, not subjective. So that is why he revealed now that his throne extends over the heavens and the earth, or the skies and the earth, universal. So lake water turned to blood red. One of the curses that were on the Egyptians who were oppressing the chosen people that Allah, our Lord, the Creator, had chosen for his purpose, were in bondage to Pharaoh. So many curses or plagues came, right? Some of you who read the Bible, you know this. One of them was that the water was turned blood red. Turning water red also means social teachings. Now that it is what I am trying to do right now. I'm trying to reach our people and turn the holy water red. The holy water used by the religious leaders in our community. I want to turn it red. I want to change it from being spiritual teaching to being social teachings. Government works with religion and in the ungodly world to control the masses. So the Pharaoh who is in the Bible as a wicked oppressor, every Pharaoh was not like that. I studied ancient Egypt history. Some of their leaders were very good. Some of the pharaohs were very good for their people. And all of them were not like that. It was just one in that period of time. The Pharaoh of that time, of Moses. The persecution or enslavement of Moses' people. He depended on very mysterious symbolic religion to hold the masses of the people. He had a priesthood that worked directly with him in government to control the people. Do you know government and religion works together in the ungodly world to control the masses of the people? That's how it was in that time. And I'm not saying all churches. I'm not saying all leaders. I'm not saying all government people. No. But it is enough supported amongst the church leadership or religious leadership and enough support in the government to keep that thing going. So they have an alliance, a pact. They work together to keep the masses ignorant and babyish. Education is the greatest tool for advancing society. We cannot get where we want to go and get our people where they should go if we just pretend that we do not see these things. No, we have to inform the people. Education is the greatest tool for advancing the society. Education is lost often when developers control it. But do not think that education is always in academia or in public school systems or in the school established for the people. No. It is lost many times. The main help for the intellect or for the mind of people is lost many times because the world deceives education. Do you know the big developers, the big investors in industry? They control government and education. And we only see opposition to them when a bright intellect appears somewhere in the country or a group of them. Usually it is a group because a bright intellect is not going to be happy by himself. He is going to have to find some companions to work with him. So it turns out to be a small group of people who get together and they challenge what is going on. They point at the problem and they expose it and they seek to get it changed. And if they can't get it changed, then they expose it. And then we see change for the better in the academic world or in the political governmental world. So we see changes for the better. But it isn't going to happen without interruption. Somebody who is right has to be attentive to what is good for the human public and what is bad for the human public. So we have reached points in our growth as a people on this planet Earth. As community of people on this planet Earth, we where the old must replace with the new. This old way of controlling the masses and managing the public has to be done away with. And I know some of you are guardians, and they have given you a small job in the establishment. And you always think that you know more than your leader. You think that they have given you something higher than what God has given your leader. Well, that is your privilege. But I'm telling you, you can go back and tell your bosses the day is out. It is a new day. Oh, yes, it is a new day. We cannot continue to treat grown-ups in our public and in our residences, our neighborhoods, their brains, and their intelligence like they are no more than babies. We have to respect the adult mind because Allah will interrupt your sin. Yes, He will. He will interrupt it. So the change is now from appealing to the emotional side of life, appealing to the rational side of life, the land. So this is what Jesus did when He said, come from the water, follow me, and I will teach you how to become fishermen of men. That is what He was saying. That was the leadership. Tell me, how many was He was talking to? How many did He bring from fishing? 12. So that is the leadership. How many are in the president's cabinet? 12. That is the leadership. So He was calling the leadership of that time, fishing the water of human sensitivity and sensibility. Now they were fishing from the water, right? They were fishing in the water of human life, not that water. You go out there and look for it to go and eat in Chicago. Not that lake, not that water. The water of human life, human composition, your sensitivity and sensibility are born in the water. Sensibility means the ability to sense. Sensibility means feeling, and sensibility means the ability to sense in your nature. But if they play upon water all of the time and do not address you as land, or as a land creature, you will lose your hand, your land, pardon me, the ability to respond. You lose the rational ability to respond. As I said earlier, and you are just turned up to respond emotionally. The individual life of one person is the key. So the individual life of the one person for the one person is the same in nature for every other person. Do you know when you go to the dentist, he doesn't say, what is your race? Do you have any other race in you before I start this procedure? Drawing blood. Do you have any other race in you? I do not want to make a mistake. If you have some Spanish blood in you, no. The human being has human blood, right? Pure, real, true science is universal. It is the same everywhere. So a doctor can treat anybody, and he does not have to ask, wait a minute, let me go and get my manual on Negro. So you're all the same. Your science is all the same. the science of your hair, your skin, your blood, your teeth, your bones. All of your sciences are the same. That's the God who made you. He made all of us the same so that we can be doctored on without a whole lot of unnecessary problems. But when it comes to teaching this religion, oh boy, we want a Negro religion. Give us a black religion. Where is that black religion? I don't want that one. Well, let us take out that which does not hold up when tested by truth and science and God's creation. Let's take that out of it so it will be all of our religion. Let's take the white Lord out of Christianity. Isn't that what Allah says to the prophet? He says, say to them, let us come to terms that respect us equally, that we raise not from amongst ourselves lords other than God. Racial image of God regresses the human psyche. Do you think our Quran is not addressing racism there? That is what it is addressing. Now, you all have a white looking man who belonged to a specific bloodline for the race or the group of people, and you have given that type and telling all of us that is our God, our Lord. The Quran addresses that in many ways, and when it says, let us come to common terms that respect us equally, it is addressing the law that you make, and it serves your psyche to make your psyche super. But give the same law to a black man in Africa and it will regress him. So the church has to change. Again, the church has to change. Our African American church, it has to change. They have to change. And we have a lot of help on our side from Christianity now. When I said with you yesterday that the priest said there has to be some fundamental major changes in Christianity if Christianity is to survive. I can't tell the church that. I cannot tell the black church that. I can't tell the Baptist convention that. I can't tell the holiness people that. They are not ready for that. But why can't I tell my students and people who say they follow my leadership, why can't I not tell you? Stand up in your own soul. So when I tell some of you, you become dead. You die right in your seat. Your thoughts are not moving. The blood has slowed up. This is us. We are changing. You can get that old stuff that they ingrated in you. You can get it out. Stand up to it. You have to be able to stand up in your own soul. Do you know that? That is what it means that Christ stood upon the water. He was an original man. He could stand in his own soul. But the average one of us, if the soul gets disturbed, we are drowned by the water. You have to stand up in your own soul. You have to stand up in your own soul. You have to stand upon truth in your spiritual life, and as well as in every other form of life. Stand up upon truth. Whether it is your own feelings or not. And you have to change your feelings and fight your feelings. You have to have a battle with yourself. Isn't that the teaching of the prophet, that the greatest jihad is the jihad with your own self? I love boxing. A boxer has to train for a fight. He has to get himself into condition for the fight. This is the jihad. You have to train your soul, your psyche, your feelings, your sensitivity. You have to train your waters to support truth in the face of challenges from the world. Coming together as Muslims should answer God's calls. It has to be a training program to put us in the condition necessary to be successful against the challenges. One, we get our own life together and we feel confident that I am organized, I am self-composed for the job at hand. Internally, then we are ready to join those who similarly constituted internally to get the big job done. So you might say, oh, Brother Iman, you have a job on your hands. Why? Because you are in that state of mind that I was in when I was a young minister, preaching my lungs out, damaging my nerves and heart, thinking I had to get everybody to accept. We only need a few. I think it was Margaret Mead who said, only a few are needed to come together, well organized, and they can change the world, she said. The world has been changed by a few well qualified that came together. The world has been changed by that few. And she said, not only has the world been changed by a few, but that's the only way it ever happened. So that's what she said. So you never should expect that a multitude of people are going to respond to the call of God or to the call of our prophet, peace be upon him, or to the call of our imam. You don't ever expect the multitude to come to that. They are going to sit and listen, and they are going back and eat Kentucky Fried Chicken or Popeyes or something, Burger King and hamburgers. And they are going back to that, and they will watch the football game or the soap opera, and they are going to be the same old people they were before they heard Imam W.D. Muhammad in the Ramadan session. Sperm, some don't reach the egg. But look at the marvelous sign that God gives us in the creation of the human flesh. Science says that when there is an interchange between man and woman to produce life, there are thousands, millions of life germs. And all of them have what God designed to become a human being. But most of them do not ever go and hit the mark. They don't hit the mark. They miss the mark. And they are just wasted. They are lost. Only one, two, or a very few and multiple births hit the mark or reach the mark. And they say they are swimmers, too. That's what science says. They are swimmers. They are fish. Now, I know they are not fish, but as a little germ, they move in a liquid like fish. And God has put it in their very makeup, an urge and a spirit to go where they have to go. They don't have brains yet. They don't have eyes yet. But they know where they're supposed to go by virtue of how they were made by God. They know whether. They know where they have to go. They go there with all of them trying to get there. But most of them, they don't have the spirit. They are in the ocean of liquid, but they don't have the spirit, so they don't reach it. So that's life. So billions of energized influences shooting from the Quran. Billions of energized influences is shooting from the Quran. Let's look at it. That's a sign from God, which reveals that there are signs in the heaven, signs in the earth, and signs in you. That is what Allah says in the Quran. This blessed book, holy, generous book, let us apply that then to our reading of what is happening right now with this work that we are doing. Billions of energized influences are shooting from the Quran. And when I recite it, it's shooting from me. And it is going out there to reach the hearts and your mind. How many do you expect to be developed and become reality? Only a very few. So let me tell you all who are in the water and you didn't reach the mark. Stay in limbo long enough. And we are going to create something that is going to work, wake all of us up. I think we have something that is going to give you all a resurrection. Peace be on, praise be to Allah. So this language is something, boy, that Satan, I'm telling you, he got into the language, and I know he is having a lot of fun. He has so much fun, he is making me laugh. Resurrection. So that's where we are concentrated now for the completion of this day program or presentation. So we are concentrated on the challenges to us to develop out of a few who can do the job for the many. So that's what we want. And you don't have to be in my immediate presence or my staff or in my circle of workers. No. Allah says, wherever you are, work in your place. Allah says, I am a worker. You don't see where I'm working. You don't see me, but look at the great work that I did and I'm doing all the time. I'm a worker. So you don't have to depend on coming under an organization to do work. Allah knows that some organizations wouldn't want you. Some organizations would be afraid of you. Some organizations would be so selfish they don't want to share authority and work with you. So Allah say, work in your place. Now you know we are supposed to belong to the masjid. That is number one. We are supposed to belong to the body of believers, and they are carrying out their duties as a collective body to conform to what Allah has revealed for Muslim life. Shahida, prayers, charity, everything. Don't abandon that. You contribute to that. But you don't have to be in a place where they pass around the bucket, have to be in a place where they pass around the bucket to contribute to that. Sometimes a place where you were going to have to pray, and whatever, it has become so unattractive to you that it is just depressing for you to go there. So then you have to do what Imam W.D. Muhammad does a lot. Charity is best done in privacy. So you have to see a poor person in the streets and they ask you for some coffee, money, or some help. You have to make zakat. Do your sadaqah. Your zakat right there. Let's get away from that old narrow-minded religion. Allah doesn't want us like that. The Quran doesn't guide us to be like that. You don't have to give zakat to somebody in the mosque, in a place. You can give zakat to any human being. Allah loves you to have compassion on human life. Emphasize with the suffering masses. the people, Allah says, spend in secrecy and in the open. And the spending that you do without anybody acknowledging it from your community is a greater charity than the charity you do and give and get your name recognized. Understand that? So let's be like Mr. Farah. The man was great, yes. He came in dyed garments, as he said, looking like the Kavi. He said he came in wearing the Kavi clothes in disguise. Then he said, nevertheless, I will come back. He told his followers that. He preached among the people. A lot of you don't know this. For 3 years, most of them in Detroit. Then he went to Chicago and then to Milwaukee. He went to those three places. Mr. Farad himself with the Honorable Elijah Muhammad accompanying him. And there are believers still living who know this amongst us. They are believers right here in this spot with me who know that. They heard Mr. Farad himself preaching. Sister Vanderdot from Detroit was 101 or 102 years old when she passed. And wherever she heard I was speaking, she would try her best to be there in the audience. She heard Mr. Farad. She knew him just like my father did. She was a close friend of my father and mother, too. And there are others who know of that time, too. There are only a very few living now. But there are still a few living now who actually got their name back in that time. He said, we are going to get every one of them, speaking of our people. He wasn't going after just Muslims. And he knew all of them wouldn't become Muslims, but he said, we have 17 million keys, and we are going after each and every one of them. My father said, he said, brothers, we are determined to get all of them, each and every one of them. Now, this man wasn't an African American. He said that and left it with the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and leaders that he established back at that time in Detroit. Firstly, then Chicago, and lastly, Milwaukee. Sin if Muslims separate from black people. We have experienced that make it sinful for us to separate ourselves from the rest of our people. We have experienced a life together as a people, and I'm telling you, it is a major sin. Some of us don't know it, but it is a major sin. But you are not pushed or punished, pardon me, for what you don't know. It's a major sin for any of us to see ourselves separate from our own people. We can't accept that. No, because what I am individually is because of what we have experienced together, past and present. So I feel like I do, and I want what I want. And I'm bothered by what I'm bothered with, because I belong to my people, not Egyptians, not Pakistanis, not Arabs, because I belong to my people. That is why I feel and respond, and that is why my spirit is burdened the way it is burdened. Because I belong to my people and my gene, have a memory for being persecuted, rejected, tortured, killed, and my ancestors before me. We all have this. We all share this in common. Black psyche shares slave experience binding us. So this is not a Mexican thing. This is not a Polish thing. This is not a Japanese thing. This is a black thing. So this is an African-American thing. We have one life, and that life is the life of our people. And we have a permanent psyche that is strong because of our shared experience over the many generations. I can't ignore that. We have feelings. Do you know we have group identity? That's what I'm dwelling on. We have group identity. And the group identity is more important than the individual identity. So we are in collective life more than the private life. So what makes up my identity for the greater part is our group life, our collective life as a people. So I look at my creation now, how it has formed and conformed and rebelled. When I look at it, I don't see Wallace the welder. I don't see Wallace the guy who was doing the walk at the dance. I don't see him. He's small in my life, but I see Wallace who has spirit to establish his life with his people so that his life fulfills a hunger in his soul for the establishment as a people, the collective body. That's where I am. And that's where practically all of us are, whether we know it or not. We are the collective life more than we are the private life. So we are building the leadership that we need to be successful with our plans and with our life on this earth, that we are trying to bring where Allah wants it. So word design always weaker than the design of God. Allah created life upon a plan, and where life frees thinkers, frees spirits to accept to stay with God or to follow the influence in the world. We have that freedom, but in time, that which is stronger is going to overcome that is weaker. And no matter what the world designed for our creation, their design is always weaker than the design of God. And in time, the spirit in the people will manifest, even in the individual. But when it manifests in the individual, it's not that individual spirit, but the individual has taken into his heart, his life, and his mind the collective spirit, the spirit of the people, and in time it will overcome and it will do away with the false creation and bring the creation back to God. A spirit to receive, to return to Allah. A spirit to return to Allah. So when Allah says, and to God you return, and to Allah you must return, you don't think that means dying in the graveyard? Let's get away from these lesser of important ideas and pictures we have in our mind. Oh, yes, he returned to Allah. Who returned to Allah? I saw him put in the ground, and they put dirt over him. What are you talking about? He returned to Allah. His earth returned to the earth. That's what he did. He was made of earth and he was put back into the earth. But what about his spirit? What about his soul? He has left it. He left it with us. And it's our obligation to return it to God. And the only way we can return it to God is to return it to the plan and the community plan that God wanted for life. I wanted for that light to be in it. When? Now. It has meaning. Yes, I want to return to Allah. All of us have a spirit. to return to Allah. And that spirit will never be satisfied until we have an Ummatan Islamiyah following this Quran and following the life of Muhammad, that it is being opened up to us now. Praise be to Allah. Allahu Akbar. That's where we're going. We are created to go there. We got to go there. So we for sure were created to serve the Most High God. I remember our teachers, Jamil Daib. He was putting together a little performance, like a play for the students, to put on an engagement in Chicago under the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, of course, and under the Temple of Islam at that time. And one part of the play was, in fact, it was the final climactic of the play. And Imam Donnell was in that play. He was a good actor. He was, in fact, he was Bilal. He had a lot of starring roles back then. Not in the play. There was no Bilal in this play. But I'm saying as a muezzin, he was and still is our Bilal. And it's kind of went like this. Imam Donnell Kareem, Imam W.D. Muhammad begins the same in Arabic. We for sure were created to serve the Most High God. Thank you very much. Assalamu alaikum. Allah's throne is over the heavens and the earth. Assalamu alaikum, Ramadan Mubarak. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Wassalatu wassalamu ali rasulihu kareem Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam mubarak. So we are kind of anticipated that some would have to go back home to get ready Monday for their businesses or their job or families, take care of their families. So some did leave, but we still have more than I expected here today. Praise be to Allah. I miss some of the students who are very good students. They possibly could be here, but I kind of doubt it because they usually make their presence known to me. And they're from the East Coast, the New England state area. So we have a few very excellent students from the college campuses in that area. Inshallah, they will be able to get a transcription and won't miss what we are getting. I know they want it and need it and will benefit greatly from it. So the focus for this closing session on this Sunday in the month of October is taken from the Word of God in the Quran. The Balanced Community, Ummatan Wasata, in Arabic, the beginning, addressing this topic by going back to the beginning of time as we are to proceed and go through the guidance of God, revelation, that is, through His, pardon me, through His servant, messenger, and prophet, and especially through the last prophet, alayhi salam, the peace be upon them, and the prayers and the peace be upon him. The snake is talking like a man to Adam. So when we recall what we have heard or read in the Bible, or scripture of the beginning of time for human beings on this earth, we recall man's right after he was made or created and put on the earth in the garden. And then the earth, he was approached by the deceiver, Satan, the devil in the form of a hisser. It does not talk. It is silent. It only hisses. Pardon me. Adam, nature made him aware of God. So the snake is quite different from other animals. The other animals are talking and communicating with one another. But the snake is silent and he hisses. So this snake is communicating strangely. He is talking like a man to Adam. And he is working, as we said yesterday, to give Adam a perception of things, a perception of reality, even a perception of what God intended for Adam, that Adam knew, obviously. So if he didn't know it, the Shaitan, would not have been trying to give him another perception. He already had a perception, and his nature was aware of how he should respect God, the creator of everything. His nature had him know that. So Satan wants to change Adam's perception of life. Now, the Satan is trying to persuade him to buy his perception that Satan wants for Adam or for mankind. So when we say Adam, we mean for all people. For mankind, obviously, Adam's obedience and his nature had him in check. He just couldn't behave any kind of way. And he was not open to being easily changed or converted from the way that he thought and believed or behaved. So the stubble one, stubble means difficult to see and difficult to figure out, difficult to detect, etc. Very stubble, very wide. And we should connect this science, this scene, in the Bible or in scripture with the saying of Muhammad, the prophet, upon him be the prayers and the peace. He said that God invited the archangel Gabriel, in English, to witness his creation that he was planning for human beings, for mankind, the universe, the whole creation, earth included, everything, he said to Jabril. Behold my creation. Jabril saw it and said, what a wonderful, marvelous creation. How can anyone go astray in such a wonderful creation? I know you have heard this many times. And within an instant, God changed the scene and the creation appeared as Satan was going to present it. And when Jabril, the archangel, saw that, he said, my Lord. He said, my Lord, the first time. Two, in the first instance, he said, my Lord. And I'm bringing it to you, your attention, to let you know that even the most important of all the angels recognize Allah, the Creator, as his Lord, he said, my Lord. How can anyone go straight in such a creation? Now, those are the two extremes. Satan brought it from an extreme. He made it so attractive, so fascinating, but his declaration, creation, made it very difficult for the human being to keep their good moral nature and good intelligence in such a creation. So that is why the archangel says, my Lord, how can anyone go straight in such a creation? Muhammad addresses religious issues that deviated. So this helps us understand what was given before. You see, the prophet comes to address major issues in religion that came before and had gotten off track, to correct the perception. Do you know from Genesis to Revelation, from El-Fatiha to El-Nas, that these are great books, these perfect books if you understand what I'm saying. Oh, the Bible is not perfect. And a lot of what you got out of the Quran is not perfect either. Your perception is not right. But if you have the right perception, you will see the correct language and reading in the Bible is perfect. Not all of it, but you will find the perfect language in the Bible if your heart is right and you have the intelligence and the support of God. Oh, yes, you can find it in the Bible. Muhammad found it in the Bible. Oh, he didn't read the Bible. That's what you think. He did not follow the Bible. He did not know the Bible. The Bible was accessible. If it was not accessible, why did he say to Ali, his cousin, who had a Bible, now this is an established hadith, he said. Ali, what's wrong with the Quran that I brought? I think he only wanted to caution his cousin, Ali. May God be pleased with Ali. Radu Allahu anhu. Radhi Allahu anhu. That the traditional saying, meaning, may Allah be pleased with him. That is all. The Prophet knew Ali. The Prophet knew Allah was not going to convert to the Bible, Christianity, or Judaism, but he just wanted to caution him. All of us need to be cautioned when we speak up or when we pick up the Bible, because it is very, very stubborn and powerful, or as a deception, as well as pure guidance. So getting back to the scene of the beginning of mankind in Adam, the Satan knew he had to give the human being a new perception from himself if he was going to gain what he wanted to gain. And that is complete authority in the life of human society. That is what he wants. That is what he inspired for. I didn't continue it. But perception is the major theme in Scripture, from Genesis to Revelation, from Al-Fatiha to Al-Nas, the last chapter of the Quran. Perception, certain visions, every eye shall see him. So quickly reflecting on the great issue of perception, in the Bible it says, and every eye shall see him. And the Bible talks about light and darkness, the world receiving light and then coming under darkness. And it ends with the whole world becoming light. That's how Revelation ends. So with the whole world becoming light, everything from everywhere, there was light. It started on the throne, but it went out, filled the whole earth, and the whole earth was filled with light. So light is for eyes. The whole book is for perception. It is to grow the right perception in human beings, especially in leaders, so that the word of man would be established in the best way. Perception, isn't that what you go to school for? To improve your perception of things? Isn't that why you went to college? To improve your perception of things? Yes. Education improves your perception. When our perception is better, the life is better. You just feel so much better. So I'm sure the garden was not a dark place. I think it was a very bright, well-lit place, lit with the best light, perception. Every eye shall see it. Why should it be said, every eye shall see it? Isn't it enough to have our leader see? No. God has put it in every nature of every human being to want to see clearly, who want to understand. So you are burdened when you have a whole lot of knowledge and you do not understand it. That's a big burden. You are burdened when you hear a whole lot of preaching and you don't understand but a very little. That leaves you burdened. That's a big burden. Allah didn't create you to carry that burden forever. He created you to grow in intelligence and to grow in perception. So the burden would be light. The balanced community. Now, I have to make some notes as I go to. Satan had a plan, didn't he? Now, when you read in the Quran where it says, and they plan and Allah plan and Allah is the best of planners. Don't just read that and say that, oh, that's right. And you are thinking a little, you're thinking in a little focus, a little small, unimportant situation. No, when you read that, be aware of the greatest deceiver, Satan himself. Satan in that, he is the one who started everything else to planning in a way to make trouble. And Allah is the best of planners. It means Allah is going to overcome Satan's plan. And when he overcomes Satan's plan, the rest of them are done away with automatically. Mr. Farad, I sure like his courage and great wit. He said, can the devil fool a Muslim? Answer, not nowadays. This day just arrived. Those days were foreseen. They have arrived. Barakallahu Nadeem, surely Allah speaks the truth. We thank New Africa Excellent Enterprise, LLC Mirad Speaks, for allowing us to come before you once again. And we thank you, our honorable listening audience. May God guide us and have mercy on us and bless us with the light of understanding. We will continue this next Wednesday at 7 p.m. and next Thursday at 7 p.m. Inshallah, in only means if it please God. Thank you. May God guide us and have mercy on us and bless us with the light of understanding. As I greet you in the Arabic language, assalamu alaikum, peace be unto you. And once again, thank you for listening.